talking about the day before.
Sure.
That what defines a covenant, what defines a bris, what defines a marriage, is what's called exclusivity. The best marriage in the world, however good it is, if there's not exclusivity, is not a marriage. And therefore, this issue of lo yeh lecho, winyan muhusi, it's essential. Hu kashu le'etzam anasui. Halo taseh hanu prisha v'havdole mikol kesher imishu acher luzolose. What does it mean? It means I'm separated from any relationship with somebody else. In order to have a relationship, what's called nisuin, it's premised on the fact that I have no relationship with anybody else. Zuhai yasod v'abasis sha'olav nivne kesha nisuin. The Lord of Yipul Abinyan, the building falls down if it's not based on that foundation. Ha'aseh shalom nesuim, the mitzvahs aseh of the marriage, the avah, the achva, the shalom v'riyus bein ish li'ishto, chashuvim hay mo'ot, they're very important. No one's being mezalzel in the avah, achva, shalom v'riyus. Ach gamim yesh betchum zu aliyas v'yiridus, etzim chayin nesuim, eni nivgoyim. There's ups and downs in marriage, in the Ava, the Reus, the Chedva. It's not always bliss. It's, you know, real boats rock. You know, there's things happening out there. Lumas Zois, Ishmeres Halotase, Keshiyetzim Naabais, Umachapsim Kesher Acharach Monolitzlan. However, the Lotase, if there, the person's running around outside looking for other things, Rahman al-Slan, but even Zechay Nesuim Rosim Adrasot, marriage is destroyed completely. If there's a pagam in the Ava, Besadim, Mistadrim, you'll repair it, you'll do tshuva. If there's a pagam in the law, Taseh, so then you've uprooted the foundations of what a marriage is. Kachu b'marshal v'kachu b'nimshal. In the marshal and in the nimshal. The marshal is the marriage, and the nimshal is our relationship with Hashem. Hadveikus b'korosh bochur nehusa yudi. The essence of a Jew, if you want to know what a Jew is, he's something that has a kesher with Hashem. An essential kesher. No one else can have that kesher. the gilu of a korosh bochur in the world and his gocha and the relationship that we have with a korosh bochur can only come through Klal Yisrael. It can't come anywhere else. It could have come from somewhere else, but then they blew it. A number of people took it, and since then, that is the essential relationship. Ha'avel Hashemi tabat, hitivit, sorry. Sherei nishmas yudi chutzpah mitachas lekisei hakovud. The love that we have for Hashem is a natural love. Why? Because we come from there. We are carved out, we are quarried out from tachas kisei hakovud. V'nechsefes lemekoyu lekodesh boruch hu shechochu matakim, mamtakim v'kulu mechmodim. In order for this relationship to be genuine, you've got to be careful from the lo taseh. Therefore, the relationship with Hashem has to be exclusive. You can't be looking around in other places for relationships to fulfill the bits in your relationship that Hashem or not, that you're not fulfilled it. Lana Navai is Hamashmois Hamaisi Shelazore Zu. Try and look at the Lamaisa. So the theory is very straightforward. In order to have a marriage, it's got to be exclusive. In order to have a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there has to be an understanding that there's Him and nothing else. That's called Kedusha. It's being Mavdil yourself from everything else in order to enter into a Kedusha relationship. That's Koreisa Bris. That's essentially who we are. And that is ultimately the solution to all our problems. That was Purim. What was Purim? Purim Klatsa were finished. It was game over. What caused the Mahafocha? Is they understood that everything's coming from Hashem. There is nothing other than Hashem. There's a Haman in the world. Where did he come from? He comes from Hashem. Why? For Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Klal Yisrael needed to respond. That's while doing something that required a response. That's the terrible danger this generation's in at the moment. There are so many asylus, there's so much tragedy, Rahman al Islam, there's so many problems. And we're looking for solutions outside of Hashem. We're looking for solutions to our problem in everything else except one second, if Hashem's doing this, must be I'm doing something wrong, and therefore I need to change, I need to respond. No, I'll change this, and I'll change this, and I'll change the whole world, but I'll stay the same. That's the danger we're in right now. How do we machanach our children to know Atava Chatanu Mikol HaAmim? That's what it means. Without Atava Chatanu Mikol HaAmim, there is no Jewish people, there is no world, there is nothing, nothing starts. Chinuch doesn't start, nothing starts. What's the first pasuk you teach your child? If you would have asked me, I would tell you, but they didn't ask me, so they got it wrong. What's the first pasuk the Rambam says you teach your child? Why not Shema Yisrael? The child knows the difference. When you start teaching your child Torah Tziva Lanu or Shema Yisrael, the second pasuk. After that, you can teach him whatever pasuk you want. But the Rambam paskins, you first got to teach him Torah Tziva Lanu, and then you can teach him Shema Yisrael. First of all, why that order? And why is Torah Tziva Lanu called kach so important? And does he understand the difference? How old is he? 3 years old? 6 months old? How old is he? What does he understand? My nafkamina, which posse you teach him first? Why teach him any posse? He doesn't understand anything. Because if you don't have Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, you don't have Shema Yisrael, you don't have anything. Nothing starts. You can't say Shema Yisrael if you don't have Torah Tziva Lanu. If there's not an Atava Chatanu Mikol HaAmim, if there's not an understanding that Klal Yisrael has a unique relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the Torah that he gave us at Asina. If you don't have that to start with, nothing starts. Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's not Klal Yisrael. There's nothing. Who's going to pay the price to be a Jew if he doesn't understand what's a Atava Chatanu? Ask any kid today. Show him Auschwitz and show him what the Goyim are living their beautiful, lovely lives in Silicon Valley in Los Angeles, and ask him which life he'd prefer. Well, which idiot would choose to be Jewish? If he didn't understand that that's the only way to ultimately have a relationship with Hashem and get to Olam Habah, if he doesn't understand what Atava Chatanu means. Therefore, it has to start with Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Yigba libu b'lei b'dach Hashem. A Jew has to feel enormous simcha and pride and privilege to be a Jew. Otherwise, why would he pay the price? It's easy being a Yid. There's no kids here, someone had to talk like this. So, you can't talk like this in front of the kids, but we have to find a way to instill in our children understanding Atava Chatanu. If you don't have that, the entire chinuch system doesn't start. I was with Rav Kornfeld and Rav Pult. So Rav Kornfeld after Pult, why, what's in the chinuch today? Things are falling apart. Makure, what's the siva? So Rav Pult said, the walls, the barriers between us and the Goyisha world and the Chiloni world have broken down completely. We don't mavdil bein kodesh l'chol, bein o Israel, there's no Abdullah anymore. So I said to him, so what's the cure? Atava Chatanu. That's what Paul said. He's stirring to the children a sense and understanding of what's Atava Chatanu. If the Twin Towers fell down, Rabbi Isa, he's supposed to yell it and do something about it. Not wish for good old days. And everyone in America is waiting to go back to the good old days pre-9/11. Wow! If the Twin Towers fell down, it's got something to do with me. So the Twin Towers, understand, you can blame the Afghanis, you can blame the Iranians, you can blame the Saudi Arabians, you've got a war. Good, pata, okay, I don't have to worry about Hashem now. But how are you going to explain away all the hurricanes that were happening? Who are you going to sue for that? It's got something to do with the Iranians? Mama Kesha. Who are you going to blame Sandy on? David and I were there shortly after Sandy. I mean, you know, for good. How did you not hear that there was a demand made on the Jewish people, and we're not responding. That's the pachad. That's what it means, an exclusive relationship. That means when something happens in the world, it's from Hashem and it's for me. There is no one else in the world. That's what it means, exclusive. Ha'istoria shel Am Yehudi, and by the way, the entire history is a toitzah of the Atava Chatanu. When you go through Jewish history and you look at what the Yidden have been through, yam shel yisurim, degradation, plundering, 2,000 years, that's part of the Atava Chatanu as well. That's part of the gilu of the Ashgacha, which we don't understand, but we'll understand one day why everything was necessary in order for us to get to the point where we need to get to, for the gilu shchina that we're waiting for to happen. If that, we don't have to understand all the pratim. How a volcano in Japan is going to ultimately... We don't have to understand the details, but we have to know that that's the truth. It's all Hashem, it's all Ashgacha. And when we recognize that, that is the refuah. That the refuah is us recognizing it's from Hashem because of me. Yaakov Weinberg said 3/4 of the refuah. Just knowing that it's from Hashem and it's because of me. That's three quarters of the refuah. You've already done the nafuch. How it'll manifest afterwards, how the yeshua will come, well, that'll be an interesting story. But the yeshua is already there, the refuah is already there. In fact, the refuah is there before the makkah. Just we have to megala the refuah by recognizing it's from Hashem. Ha'istoria shalom ha'yudim ha'labedah satana shekola yiridus ha'ruchnis she'eru l'klal Yisrael koru b'gal siba achas p'nir v'izkorvus l'goyim. If you go to the Jewish history, proper Jewish history, not what they teach in the schools in Tel Aviv and Herzliya, proper Jewish history, you take out of a Victor Miller's history safer, Beryl Wine, you take out a proper history safer, you'll understand that everything that happened to the Yidden, all the spiritual declines and everything that happened to the Yidden happened for one reason. We got too close to the Goyim. Keshepnina le Goyim, keshechashaknu, behalvlayim v'tanugayim, when we went after their havalim and their tanugim, we ran after goyish pleasures, keshesavanu sheyesh mekayis acherim l'tanug milvada tanug al Hashem. When we understand or think that there's pleasures out there besides lisaneg al Hashem, val torosu v'kiyum mitzvayis, when we think that there's some pleasure outside of tarag mitzvahs and Torah and Hashem, shuv lo nishanu im hakadosh baruch hu bilvad. Now we're not with Hashem anymore exclusively. Now you have a 98% marriage, a 95% marriage. Those are good tzilim, 95%. That's a pretty good deal, no? That's not a marriage. A marriage that is 364 days of the year, beautiful and wonderful and exclusive, and one day of the year he's looking somewhere else, that's not a marriage. 99% sheker is not truth. 99% emes, sorry, is not truth. That's sheker. That's sheker. If you have to jump 10 meters across a canyon, and you jumped 9.9, that's not, you missed by a little bit. You splat on the bottom of the floor. Yeah, but I just missed by 1 inch. Yeah, but that's not missed by 1 inch. You didn't make it. The same with Shekhar, same with exclusivity. I mean, 99.9999% exclusive, that's not called exclusivity. That's not a Chayri Yichud anymore. Zu. That's what it is. Elohim Achirim, sorry. You're off. Sorry. Why they called Elohim? Interesting, huh? We just said there's nothing, there's no other gods. It's all Hashem. And we said, don't go after other gods. There aren't other gods. Should we don't go after things that pretend to be other? What did they call them? B'shah zu, achali yirid ruchnis kasheh, ki hakesha ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben Am Yisrael, hisayre v'nifgam ha'yichud mitzad hakala. There's been a pagam, there's been a breach in the yichud of the marriage on the side of the kala. V'hinei, hachet, Harishon betol de sameinu haya. What was the first chet? Klal Yisrael. The world was Adam Harishon. Klal Yisrael. When was Klal Yisrael born? Yetzias Mitzrayim. What was the first chet Klal Yisrael did? Chet ha'edom. Lamdeinu ois min ha'goyim. In the Erev Rav, who taught us about the Egel Azav? Who did we learn that from? The Erev Rav, from the Goyim. Hayyali b'nei umas ha'olam, shenis gairu v'itztafu l'am Yisrael. They're a guide and they joined Klal Yisrael on their journey out of Mitzrayim. Ulam yachad im zois heim lo hitnoku adayin miderach ha'goyim. They're a guide, but they didn't menatek from the ways of the Goyim. Chet ha'egel melamed otanu shido v'zehu sherish l'kol chet p'pesha. We know that all the Aveiras, all the Chatoim, all the suffering that Klal Yisrael goes through Ada Yom Hazeh, the Sheirish of that was in the Chet HaEgel and the Meraglim. It's another aspect of it. That was also Toitzah of the Chet HaEgel. Those are the two Sheroshim of whatever suffering and Yisurim we have today. That's by Rishon, by Sheini, the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim.
But don't they say that we were taken out of Mitzrayim early because we had sunk to such a low level that we wouldn't be able to stay the amount of time we were supposed to be there?
And therefore?
So therefore that we sunk before the Echad HaEgel.
We're talking about when we, since we became Klal Yisrael, that means after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael was born at Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was like coming out of a womb.
And why Moshe Rabbeinu, I haven't seen this problem, taking the Ereb Rav in the Klal Yisrael.
Oh, okay. It's another question. Why does Klal Yisrael Mekabel Geirim? Okay.
Moshe Rabbeinu, yes.
Yeah. Suffering them from Adai Yom Hazeh? Eruv Rav is one of our major problems that Klal Yisrael suffers from today. There's a whole essay on the whole impact of the Eruv Rav just before Mashiach comes. He was writing, Rabbi Chonin was writing before the war. Before the Second War broke out, he was writing about what was going to be now in Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes. There's a whole essay on the Eruv Rav. And now the Eruv Rav is mamash going to be being impacting. If they can destroy a yeshiva, not just shut the door, but go in there and mamash crystal nachi yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in 2018 in Tavshin Ein Ches in Eretz Yisrael, then we understand we have a problem with the Erev Rav still. There weren't goyim that did that. So who are they? Which yid can go into yeshiva and thrash the place ad asof?
So you're saying that the people that are Magayer are a problem?
No, chas v'chalila. A get tzedek is not from the Erev Rav.
Oh, what do you mean?
The Rebbe Chonin says that the evil keneged Torah that you'll see before Mashiach comes has its spiritual roots in the Erev Rav. That doesn't mean necessarily Geirim, on the contrary. Right. The people that are doing this are not Geirim. Right. Could be their parents were big tzaddikim. There were many so-called secular leaders who did their utmost to destroy Torah from this world, whose zaydas were great tzaddikim. Mm-hmm. No dispersions on Geirim whatsoever. There were Geirim that we had problems from. And there were Yidden that we had problems from as well. Mm-hmm. There were Geirim that were Shemaya Vavtolion were Geirim.
Who?
Shemaya Vavtolion, Hillel Azokin's Rebbe's. Tanoim, great. There's many. Locha segeirim. Onkulus. You open up your chumash and you don't shnayim mikra v'targum. Can you imagine? No. We have no chas v'chilula. 48 times it's written in the Torah, Oyves Ager.
So when you're referring to the Erev Rav, are the ones that...
We're talking about those that came out of Mitzrayim.
Right.
And their spiritual sparks are still with us today, and they caused us untold problems. Because I'll say, if you go through Klavitha, you'll see that all the sins, all the... was from the Erev Rav. But we had our Kairach who wasn't from the Erev Rav, and he also caused us some trouble. No. It's not an exclusive club. Anyone can join.
Two popes that were Jews.
Anyone can be a shliach of the Sotan Rachman al Islam. That's Bechira. We have Bechira. And I assume there were those of the Erev Rav who were Chayza B'Tshuva and didn't do what they were supposed to do. I don't know. But if I look at the Midrashim, they properly understand it. Where does it start? Where does this breach begin? It starts with a person not understanding himself properly, not valuing himself properly. First of all, he stops valuing himself. Then he stops having pleasure just from the etzim fact that he's alive and he's a Jew and he's a relationship of love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he goes and looks for pleasure somebody else, because we are pleasure seekers by nature. If you don't know what a Jew is, he's a pleasure seeker. The Mesillas Yesharim says it in very strong Loshon. The only reason we're in this world is we're here for pleasure. Just question, what pleasure? But the Mesillas Yesharim is telling us very carefully that a Jew was not born and not created for only one reason, pleasure. What pleasure? You can have a chocolate bar, you can have... There are many pleasures in the world, okay? The Messiah tells us what pleasure you should be concerned about. The time you get from having a relationship with Hashem. But when you don't have that, then we start looking for pleasure elsewhere. We don't become neutral. So not a pleasure from Hashem, so I need pleasure. No. We don't. we want pleasure. We want pleasure. Only question is, what kind of pleasure do you want? You know, you want real pleasure, or you want forged pleasure? You know, you want a real $100 bill, or you give a 200 shekel, you're doing this. Why are you doing that? Because you don't want forgeries. So why are we looking for forged pleasures? When you start looking for tanugim outside a relationship with Hashem, and by the way, that doesn't mean that all your tanugim will come, alavai it could, but for most people they can't. From sitting and learning the whole day, 24 hours a day, you do nothing else than learn, that's where your pleasure comes from. That would be lovely, but we see history has taught us, and we see not everyone can do that. No, it means everything I'm doing is a tanug to be with Hashem. When I'm at the bank, when I'm sleeping, when I'm walking, when I'm eating, when I'm playing with my children, when I'm whatever it is that I'm doing, because that's what being an Eved Hashem requires me to do, having a holiday, going for a walk on the beach, going fishing, lo mishane, what I'm doing, that's all lis'aneg al Hashem. You can take the most basic pleasures and afuch them to lis'aneg al Hashem with a bit of thought, a little bit of thought, that's all. A person eats a chocolate. Chocolate's a very low, basic pleasure. You can turn that into lis'aneg al Hashem, just with a bit of machshava. But it doesn't have a magic. You've got to work at it. It doesn't come automatic. You eat a chocolate bar and you have another chocolate bar and eventually you want to bring up because you've had so much. Where's the pleasure? The pleasure was the first bite, and then the physical pleasure is no lasting pleasure. So how do you turn a chocolate bar into spiritual pleasure? Paul, stop and think. How many people did Hashem make and arrange to get me this chocolate bar? How many thousands and thousands of people had to get out of bed over the last many, many years to get me a chocolate bar? Start thinking. So that chocolate bar becomes lis'aneg al Hashem. You don't have to become a malach to be lis'aneg al Hashem. You don't have to be Ruach HaKodesh to be lis'aneg al Hashem. You want to be like him, that's great. I'm not telling you that's not something to strive for. But not everyone. So everywhere lis'aneg al Hashem. How much pleasure there is in this world? You know how much HaKodesh HaTov they have in this world? Where did you last take pleasure from your toenails? Your toenails. Have one cut off, okay? Then you start suddenly realizing, well, the toenails, you know, they're pretty pleasurable. You know? Your pair of trousers, that's a pleasure. Go to the mikveh, yeah, and you come out the mikveh and someone's taking your trousers, okay? You step downstairs, yeah. You know how much a pleasure trousers that happened to a very choshev Rosh Yeshiva? He was in South Africa fundraising. He told me the story himself. Very choshev Rosh Yeshiva. He was fundraising. He has a driver, so he was down on the coast. One of the places he went to fundraise was in Durban. He's at the coast, he shouldn't go swim in the Yam. Go swim in the Indian Ocean. Someone lives in Eretz Yisrael. So they got the Schwarzer to drive for him, wait at the beach. He went down to the beach. He left his frock and his whatever put on his kosher, whatever he did, what he came out, and his frock and everything there, but the trousers are gone. What happened to him? He told me the story. So he put on his frock, he put on his frock.
Yeah, at least he left his frock.
With his towel around him and whatever. And he went back, they got the driver to take him back to his staying. But he realized then, you know what a chesed, you know how much across you have to have for a pair of trousers? Yeah. You know, we put it on in the morning without even thinking. We put on tefillin today without even noticing. My son put on tefillin today for the first time. So I thought to myself, if I could put on tefillin just once more, like I put them on the first time. I remember putting on tefillin the first time. I was trying to use him to put on tefillin for the first time. It's a lot pashut. It takes avoid us Hashem. Avoid it takes machshava. But with machshava, we can turn everything to lis'aneg al Hashem. Then you have to give up the things you have pleasure from. You enjoy an orange. No, enjoy an orange. No one's saying don't have an orange, just love Hashem. Everything we do is a tainug if you just know how to use. Have to connect it to Hashem. It's not difficult. And then the pleasures you're having are not Zarish pleasures. Obviously, there's certain things that you can't have a pleasure. You can't. You're doing a Veirish, you can't say, well, I'll have pleasure from this Veirish. You know, I'm having a cheeseburger and I'm a lis'aneg al Hashem. That Chazal tell us already. You don't make a broch on tray food. Well, that's not. We're talking about in the world of, let's say, the world of Rishus even. Whatever we're doing, we have so much pleasure in the world. Say thank you. Enjoy it. Never mind say thank you. I'm not talking about a Koras HaToiv. That's another sugya. So I would make that clear. I'm not talking about a Koras HaToiv. That's another sugya after you have a Koras HaToiv. I'm saying just enjoy it. Enjoy it. You see the color of the scar today?
Beautiful.
Did you see the color of the scar like that anywhere in the world? It's not minus 30. No, you said thank you for that.
I do.
He's from Toronto. Okay.
I'm around there.
Where are you from again?
Milwaukee.
Oh, that's pretty cold.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Chocolate bar wasn't a good example. There's a
tivus. Not necessarily. That? Not necessarily. Depends. You got to know what your drug of choice is. I understand. Aval, there's nothing transiting along with a chocolate bar. On the contrary, give a person chizuk, give a person help them to learn better.
A long time ago,
I told that story many times. Yeah, I heard it from Rebecca. I thought he told it to me about Revolbi. He heard it about Rav Schoenberg. I'm a little mishane. He told me to. He thought it was Rav Schoenberg. Lo mishane who the Rav was, but he was sitting at a chasana, at the main table, eating an ice cream. He finished the ice cream and another one. So one of his talmidim was there, and he was like, "No, these are not people that glutton out on ice creams." So he went up. Told me, "What's with the?" He said, "This is Revolbi. You know either of them, he's valid, okay? What's with the ice cream?" He said, "Good question, bring me another one and bring one for yourself and I'll tell you." So while he was nibbling on the third ice cream, I think it was the third one, not Moshane, the second, the third ice cream, he said to him, "Do you not realize what a resource ice cream is in the world? It's a resource, it's there to be used. When I come to a chasana, okay, I'm exposed to the whole world's tzoras. The rest of the day I'm not exposed, I'm in my room, I'm locked up, no one can bug me, no one can do anything to me. When I come here, people start telling me they're tourists, people stressing to whatever. I'm at a chasana, how do I maintain my simcha lekels when I'm at a chasana and the whole world's dumping all their problems on my lap?" You understand that ice cream is a resource, it's there to be used. Everything in the world is a resource, it's a gift from Hashem. And it's all parav. Even the milchik ice cream is parav. You can use it for good, you can use it for bad. An ice cream can be used to be davuk in Hashem, and it can be used your own for terrible times. It's going to take a person out of this world. How we use it's going to determine what it is. Yeah, if ice cream is your drug of choice, then get Ice Creams Anonymous, you know, and get yourself sorted out. But if it's not, and it's something that you use as a resource, and you, why not? You see a person sitting in a room, schwitzing, it's 45 degrees outside, and he's schwitzing. But then why do you put on the air conditioner? He tells you, what are you talking about? It costs 6 shekels an hour. Excuse me, why is there an air conditioner in this room? If you could learn better with the air conditioner on, and you don't switch it on, you know how you chayv you are? You know how chayv you are for that? Reb Chaim never wanted an air conditioner, because he couldn't be able to use it on Shabbos, because they were using batteries in those days, and generators, he couldn't use the air conditioner on Shabbos. And he didn't want the week to be more mechubadik than Shabbos or whatever. Anyway, someone came in the one day and put in an air conditioner or whatever. He said if he realized how much better he learned with the air conditioner, he would have put it on long ago. He's probably high for not having had it. It's a resource. If you can learn better with an air conditioner, your grandfather didn't make a difference. It was 45 degrees, 20 degrees. He used to break the ice to go to the mikvah good, but I'm not my grandfather. I know that if it's 45 degrees outside, okay, and I'm inside without an air conditioner, I need law said, I'm not doing nothing. So why don't you put an air conditioner? Lisanag el Hashem, what's the problem? He gave it to you. Why not use it and take pleasure from it? I know this is up courses, but you know, you have to be mustak with the mute, and you've got to lie on the floor and chaim tzad. That's not pshat there. That's not pshat in that Mishnah. Sanig el Hashem. That's talking about this world, by the way. That's not talking about Olam Haba. Go prove me wrong. The Mesir Shalom says that the reason why in this world is Zion el Hashem v'lanus miziv shchonosoi, because that's the only pleasure, da 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 da. And when is this pleasure going to be enjoyed in the next world? And I'm telling you, Lisanig el Hashem is talking about this world. Go look at the Masilas and Shadim and tell me if I'm wrong. Revolbi has a mighty kadiuk. Lanus Miziv Shchinoso is talking about the next world. This Alegel Hashem is talking about this world.
So I heard the war one time that this week.
Sorry, 1 second. We start at 10. Oilam comes here normally on time?
No.
You start it.